Welcome to WebRush, the weekly talk show that brings you stories of real-world development from industry experts and developers like you and me. Each week, Ward Bell, Dan Wallin, Craig Shoemaker, and John Papa find out what it takes to write, deploy, and maintain apps that stand up to the demands of the real world. And now, here are your hosts. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to WebRush. I'm super glad that you've joined us here on this Wednesday morning. Wait, no, we publish on Thursday mornings. Well, that's what the show is about. We're going to be talking about learning from our mistakes. And I have Dan Wallin here with me.
There you go. We kicked it off on the right note, Craig.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. You know, the thing about our industry, I think a lot of times, and by the way, this is a special show because it's just Dan and I. We're here chatting. We don't have any extra guests. So hopefully we'll find a number of different ways to make your life a little bit better through our chat here. And Dan and I were just talking right before we started recording here, and that is that our industry oftentimes likes to celebrate successes. And we talk about, even if it's not to the level of, I built this whole company and look how amazing and profitable it is. It's, you know, I built this framework, or I have this new architectural type of thing or whatever, and it worked out great, and here's why. But in order to get to that point, oftentimes we have to fall and we have to pick ourselves back up again and move forward. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how we've learned from some of our mistakes over the years. I don't really have much to share, but I know Dan does. So, Dan.
What are you saying, Craig? Dan has lots of mistakes? Yeah, it's true.
No, I do have plenty as well. But, you know, what were you saying a moment ago about being afraid to look bad?
Yeah. So Craig and I were talking right before we started the show on just kind of, you know, the general premise. And I think there's like this weird stigma within our, I was going to say organization, but our development environment in general, and this would extend to DevOps and other areas, but that, you know, you hear so much like a system went down and now customers are upset because they can't get to the system. And that is a big deal at the time. It is. But I think the bigger deal from that is the lessons learned that come out of it and not being scared to talk about those lessons. Yeah. Because it's going to happen to you. Craig and I will have some stories to share. And see, first off, you might as well plan for it. It is going to happen. You're not the first person that took down production. Trust me. I'll have a story about that, actually. And yeah, it's kind of weird, though. And I don't think it's just the developer, you know, coding environment. I think it's other environments as well that we're, especially here in the U.S., I'm sure other countries too, but definitely in the U.S., where failure is like, oh my gosh, we, you know, we don't talk about that. But we should, don't you think?
I absolutely agree with that. And it's kind of one of the things that I try to tell my kids. And that is, like, you have to expect that you're going to fail somewhere, somehow, and, you know, honestly, pretty often, right? And the only way that you don't waste that experience is by learning something from it. So, you know, maybe you completely fall on your face and it was just a total goof and you shouldn't have done it or whatever, but there's still things that you can learn about being prepared, or maybe being more intentional about the things that you're doing or whatever. But there's a lot of value in those mistakes.
Well, should we start sharing some mistakes then and dive into that angle?
Yeah, let's get practical here.
So, all right, I'm going to kick things off because this was one that I didn't, the first two I'm going to share, I didn't necessarily trigger them myself, but for one of them, I was the manager. So you could say I might as well have triggered it myself. But the first one,
you.
Yeah, pretty much. The first one, this was my second job out of college, I think. So I would have been in my probably mid 20s. So long time ago, sadly, Craig, for me. one day, so we did an open enrollment system. We built this system from scratch to enroll at this company. And this was a government agency, by the way, at the time. But we built an open enrollment system from scratch, all web-based. This was literally back in the IE3 days. IE3, horrible browser, by the way. If you thought IE6 was bad, you should have tried IE3. But anyway, one day the DBA comes over after, this is after the open enrollment, and it went super successful. We were really happy with the app and how it performed, because with these open enrollment systems, you tend to, we had about 13,000 employees and they seemed to all wait until the very last minute to enroll. And so you kind of have that scaling issue you're worried about, but we didn't have any problems. So the DBA comes over one day though, and I could tell, and he's the nicest guy. I learned so much from this guy. I'm not going to say his name just because, you know, we're talking about situations here. But, and he says, Dan, do you have a sec to talk? And I wasn't manager yet, by the way, at this point. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? He goes, we just lost all the data from open enrollment. Now, keep in mind, this is like 13,000 plus employees, healthcare, dental care. I mean, this is a big deal, right? Right. And he is just, I mean, his literally his first words out of his mouth is they're going to fire me. I don't know what we're going to do. So we,
you say me, he was saying that he was going to be fired or that you were going to be fired?
Well, him, he was saying.
Okay.
But I'm also involved in this project. So that led me to think, me too.
Chopping block. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it was, me and this other guy were the main kind of people behind this project. And long story short, we were freaking out. And here's why. The backups didn't work. Because normally you just go, oh, well, just go to the backup. No big deal. Well, it turns out he hadn't recently tested the backup. You know, for something this serious, you'd think we would have. But right. For whatever reason, things happened, we didn't. So, and that's why he's freaking out, because he had been spending, I guess, hours trying to figure out backups and how do we recover this data and all that.
Snapshots. And
yeah, snapshot. Well, and it actually relates to snapshots. So long story short is it's okay to freak out at first on this story, and then I'll let you share one. It's okay to freak out at first, but first off, realize that it's not the end of the world. Odds are you're not going to be fired, okay? Because if you're good at your job, they're not going to fire you. Everybody makes mistakes. Now, in this case, I don't know. You might have been, but, you know, because it's like, I can only imagine going to the CIO going, yeah, we lost all the data.
that whole week, let's just do that over again. It'll be fine. It'll be like a party.
Let's just do it. Nobody will notice at all.
Right.
Yeah, well, to end the story, so he did end up, we ended up buying some software to replay the transaction logs. Okay, so we didn't have the backups, but we did have the transaction logs. And I can't remember, this software is expensive, but we ended up getting it and it worked. We were able to recover from the transaction logs because we did have those, all the data. And that was my first time being like seriously scared because like it was totally out of my control. I'm not a DBA. I wasn't back then. But I needed to contribute in a way. So the way I contributed, I hope, at least the way I remembered my mind, is I kind of was like, hey, it's okay. We'll figure this out. And first off, kind of got him back into the state of, you know, like we can do this, because he was freaking out, you know, which for good reason. And so I think that was my first lesson learned, that even if you weren't the one that triggered that original problem, you can still help by just bringing that calming influence to the situation. And then after that is when he thought, oh, well, we can do the transaction logs. Once he calmed down and kind of got his head back, you know, on his shoulders.
Because when you're in that panic state, you can't think creatively.
No,
it's just not going to happen. Yeah,
not at all. So anyway, that was probably my first, like, I was literally scared situation in tech, because it was just such a big impact.
Hey, are you building apps in React, Angular, Node, or some other framework? Well, with NX, you can build your full stack apps in a shared monorepo, integrate with modern tools, and reinforce best practices. You'll get advanced code generation and automatically configured tooling like Cypress, Jest, and Prettier that will simplify your workflow. NX also helps you simplify the relationships between applications and shared libraries to make it easier to share more code and develop more consistently across teams. And the best part is, you'll build higher quality apps and spend less time on configuration. So visit nx.dev to get Narwhal's popular open source toolkit for monorepo development today.
It's funny how a lot of these stories come from earlier, you know, in our careers when perhaps we're not as seasoned in some things. So my first job as a developer was with a financial company. And we wrote the system that was responsible for trying to determine suspicious activity in wire transfers that went from the United States into Central America. Because this was essentially a reporting tool, we didn't work with the production wires table. Okay. So essentially what we had was a copy of the wires table that was, I don't remember how, you know, how far away from real time it was, but it was, you know, there was a bit of a delay. Nevertheless, there were many, many systems that relied upon this delayed wires table. So here I am, I'm in my new job and I'm building this website. And I think to myself, you know what? The wires table really needs a new column because I'm going to whatever, right? And it's interesting that both of our stories start off with databases because it seems like a stray SQL statement can do, you know, untold amounts of damage. All of a sudden, I'm working with SQL Server at the time. The whole app just locks up. It's just frozen. And so I think, okay, well, big deal. You know, I messed up the SQL Explorer. I forget the name of it. So I end task, I bring it back up. And all of a sudden I notice my DBA is approaching me from behind. And so he comes up and he calmly and politely and kindly sort of taps me on the shoulder. And he's just like, what are you doing? And I was like, X, Y, and Z, you know, adding a new column to the table. And he's just like, you took the entire table down. It's gone. It's not there anymore.
Oh my God.
So whatever SQL I wrote.
Just add a little drop statement in there. Or
pretty much. Yeah. Little Bobby tables. Right. So, for a brief amount of time, it was gone. Now, all props to the DBA at this company because he was a consummate professional. He had his snapshots in place. He had his backups in place. Nice. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he was prepared for some snotty developer named Craig Shoemaker to come in and, you know, attempt to take down the entire company. So it seemed to me at the time. But, you know, he was the calming presence for me. And he was able to get everything back up and running. I took a walk around the block and I had to seriously think about what I'd done because, again, I knew that I had this opportunity. I had this brief moment to where if I didn't really take this seriously, I would do something stupid like this before.
Right.
And so, you know, what I learned was the fact that it's okay to not try and do everything on your own. You know, again, as a developer and not a DBA, it was good for me to understand and learn my limits and my boundaries and say, you know what? I might be a full stack developer in this instance, but that doesn't mean I have to do every single thing myself. And if you're in an organization, if you're in an environment where you have people around you that can complement your skills, I would say definitely try and figure out ways that you can harness that ability because really we need each other. No one can know everything.
No, well, and there you go. That's a big lesson learned for me when I first started my career is what you just said is that because as a, you know, younger kid, I'll call myself back then. I don't know. I was literally kind of scared that somebody would know I didn't know like this, this, and this because
yes,
I thought I should. So that's a good lesson learned right there. Plus the whole collaboration aspect that you just mentioned.
Right. So what's another one that you can think of?
This would be at the same company, but later I came back as a contractor. But then it was kind of a weird situation. I came back as a contractor. So I didn't get fired, by the way. We worked out that other one I mentioned.
Yay.
I left.
Mortgages are being paid.
Yeah, mortgages continue to be paid. You know, I was married then. So wife was still happy with me. I then ended up managing this team. I think there was about 10 of us, I think, total. And we ran the overall public website. And then we also ran the intranet, you know, back in those days. all custom built. You know, everything was custom back then. In fact, this was back in early .NET framework days when this was all done. So we actually had a really good, now we would call him a, you know, DevOps guy, but back then it was like IT admin guy, but he was really good, really good at his job. Yeah. Well, he ended up leaving. I can't remember what happened, if he switched orgs or left or whatever. So we were a little more on our own. And when it came to deploying to production, we had this very simple process where you would just trigger copying over the, you know, DLLs, because this was .NET framework, for ASP.NET. And this, I suspect it was, it had to have been web forms, because this would have been early, like 2000s. So it must have been web forms back then. When did MVC come out? Like 2007, I'm guessing. I don't even know.
Yeah, later on. Like that.
So anyway, long story short, one of the developers, he copied the main DLL for the app he was working on into the wrong folder. And then our automation, I say automation because back then we didn't have this fancy CI/CD process. Keep in mind, this was...
It was a batch file.
Yeah, pretty much.
That copied files.
Pretty much. It was weak, I admit. And that would be on me because I kind of managed the team and I never really stepped in when this other guy left to fill that void with anyone. Mm-hmm. So this DLL, it turns out, was named the same. I can't remember what the name was, but as the homepage DLL. Now, normally that's not a big deal. They're in separate, you know, folders and all that. Well, it took down all of production because the migration process happened. Everything's like good. And then all of a sudden, the CIO is at my cube. So I had a nice cube back then. It wasn't an office, but it was a pretty big cube. Going, hey, what's going on? Now, first off, there's two problems with this. First off, he knew before I did. That's never good. Because your monitoring should, you know, let you know ahead. And we did have monitoring, but apparently not that good.
Clippy didn't do his job that day.
I don't know. Clippy was on vacation, maybe. But so long story short, production completely goes down. And keep in mind, this is a government agency. This website did get a lot of traffic. So it was kind of a big deal again. This CIO, his name was Jim. I can say Jim. I like Jim. He was a good guy. He came over, but whoever called him, I think it was whoever ran this government agency actually called him, which now the pressure's really on, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So long story short, I had no idea that it was down because he came over within, I don't know, a minute. And I don't think I'd got the notification yet or checked the email or whatever we did back then. So he's now standing in my office. I still remember to this day, my heart like pounding and I'm like sweating now because I'm now expected to fix this problem. Right. I have no idea what happened. I wasn't involved in whatever happened. So I'm like, I have no idea because normally we let our developers, they would deploy to where they needed to in dev and go through the staging process. It just so happens he accidentally went to the wrong folder. So long story short, I'm now talking with the team. This is back in the days we're all in the office, which in this case was a good thing. Saying, hey, folks, did anyone migrate anything recently? And this person had. But he's like, no, but it was for the assessor site. It wasn't for the homepage, so it wouldn't have impacted it. Well, that got me thinking, though. If nobody's touched the homepage one, something must have gone on. So anyway, long story short, it turns out it was an incorrect DLL in the wrong folder. Therefore, it took down because none of the dependencies linked up. And so it took down all of production.
In hindsight, it makes perfect
sense. In hindsight, it was an easy problem to fix. And we did fix it pretty quickly with Jim standing there over me, by the way, literally behind me watching what I'm doing, which lesson learned there, don't let whoever it is that you're trying to solve the problem for do that to you. Be like, hey, you're going to have to give me some space so I can think because I was super stressed. I mean, I still remember, like I said, I was sweating, my heart was just pounding and we did fix it. And then that led to some discussions on how do we fix this process and make it a little better. So that was good. I think the lesson learned there was first off, I've always been a manager that it's okay to mess up. I was okay with that. And this person, they felt super bad, But I'm like, hey, it happens. I could have done it. What are we going to learn from it? And what we learned from it was our process of deployment and testing needed to be a little more solid. And keep in mind, back then, unit tests and all that, they weren't really a thing. And a unit test wouldn't have caught this. Actually, it would have had to have been an end-to-end type test, which back then, nobody did that I knew of. So anyway, that would be the next scary story where my heart was like freaking out because production is down and I had no clue as to why.
How did you find it? So you were just like, okay, the homepage isn't working. Let's just go figure out and see if anything's different that responds or is related to the homepage. Well,
so I looked in there and everything looked good. Now keep in mind that the DLLs were named the same and I wouldn't even have thought to have to check those, to be honest, because you'd think it's, you know, a code issue or something that's bringing it down. And I don't know if anyone remembers, I used to call them the yellow and red screen of death because that was the colors of the air screens you would get if you didn't have custom air handlers. Yeah. And I don't remember if we had custom air handlers or not back then, but I'm pretty sure we didn't, which was another thing we learned, by the way, because we never had this serious of an issue before, you know, with the team.
Right.
So, no, I finally figured it out. Kind of like you said, I finally had to say, hey, we're going to have to talk to other folks to see what happened here because our process just wasn't good enough to go like look at a screen and go, oh yeah, this was deployed at this, therefore this is what caused it. It just wasn't like that back
right
then. I mean, this is literally not that far from the good old FTP days where that's how you would deploy to production. So you know, so I guess you could say it came from finally not trying to do it on my own and delegating to talk with others. So
gotcha. Okay.
So, John, one of the things I like about AG Grid, which is a data grid component for the kind of complex grid scenarios that we encounter all the time in enterprise apps, one of the things I really like about it is that it works for a variety of frameworks, Angular, React, Vue, or just vanilla JS. Does that ring a bell for you?
Oh, it really does. There's all these different companies that I work with where they have no choice but to use a lot of these different tools because they have different teams working on them. So being able to port their code or share that code and that technical investment they have is really important to them.
Yeah, well, it's important to us. Ideally, we're a consulting company and, you know, we never know what our client's going to want to use, Angular, React, or Vue, but they're all going to need a grid. And it's great to be able to reach for the one grid that works everywhere, AG Grid.
You know, at any size company, too, because you could have these teams that maybe they only use one framework, but eventually they're going to switch to another one and be able to take that investment again and use it, reuse it is really nice.
So if a multi-framework data grid makes sense to you, please go check out AG Grid at ag-grid.com.
At one point, I worked for a consulting company and we had clients all around town in Southern California. And one of them was a major, you know, movie production studio.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was fun. It was neat. I got to kind of go walk around and their IT offices were in the middle of their backlot. And so one time when I was walking in to work, I saw two different sitcoms being filmed in the exterior lots. And I saw Richard Kind, which I don't know if you know who he is, a character actor. You've seen him a million times. But he was standing in one of these lots and working on his lines. And of course, I didn't bother him, but it was just kind of, you know, neat to walk past him in a professional context. So we did a SharePoint deployment for this company. And this was early on in the SharePoint days. This is what has scarred me for life from not wanting to do anything with SharePoint, unfortunately. If you work on SharePoint, I you know, all my best to you, but it's just
worked on it
not
too,
something I can do anymore. So something went down and we had no idea what it was. I don't know. Like we hadn't deployed anything recently, but basically they called us in and they're like, you need to figure it out. And so this isn't a mistake in that, you know, I updated a SharePoint table or something like that. But it was just one of those things where we were put in a position to try and make something happen. And sort of like you were describing before, we didn't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the mistake was either not having the experience or not being prepared enough in a situation like this to be able to say, okay, well, you know, what's my forensic analysis going to be of this system to be able to figure out what in the world is going on?
That's what it is. You're like a detective, you know, like who killed, well, in this case, the server.
the server in the server room with who knows what, with the, yeah. Right?
Was it the pipe, the knife?
And so, hopefully it wasn't a pipe. So what we ended up doing after trying to figure out a bunch of different ways of interrogating these systems was just creating the most simple, the most basic, what we call code spikes, really. Just like a console application that first tries to use the connection string to connect to the database. Let's see if that works. Mm-hmm. Okay, that made a connection. All right, so now let's try to run a select statement. Okay, we got something back. And we weren't hitting the database. We were using some of the APIs, but all it was this sort of systematic sort of thing. It's like, what's the dumbest, stupidest, simplest thing that we can possibly think right. of and create the simplest application to make that work? And eventually, this is, you know, probably 20 years ago now. I don't remember what it was or how we fixed or what we did. But what's important is the process in which we used in order to finally figure out what the thing was. And so that has always stuck with me from there on out, is just say, okay, breaking down complex problems into the smallest bit possible can be frustrating because maybe you feel like you're not getting anywhere. But oftentimes, that's the fastest way Absolutely. To get where you need to go.
As you were saying that, I was literally in my mind going, that is some of the best advice ever, because I can't even tell you how many times where I literally just had to go back to basics to get one little teeny thing working. And then that led right. us to figure out what was wrong, you know?
Right.
Was the system up pretty quick then, or did that take a while?
I think it took like a day for us to kind of figure out where we needed to go and then figure out what the change was and then get it fixed up. You know, luckily, although every executive in any company you ever work with or work for is going to tell you that their thing is the most important thing. But in the end, you know, we weren't saving lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
everything worked out in the end. So it was all good.
I, as you know, Danny, my oldest, is now a doctor. Medical doctor. And right. he just started in the hospital a month ago. And he came home 2 weeks ago and said, well, I saved my first life. And he did. He actually saved a life.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody's heart stopped and he was able to help get it going. And I literally went,
wow.
Wow. What have I done that I fixed the
Well, you created life.
I fixed the bug.
So he wouldn't be there.
Okay, there you go.
To save someone's life.
I helped get him in that position. Created. There you go.
That's
no,
right.
I mean, job That's wise, right. though, I'm like, man, I suck. You know, I'm just fixing bugs and, you know, doing stuff like that. But anyway.
Okay, I feel like we've had this conversation before. And so what I put forward to you is that you have helped train and develop enough developers around the world that surely someone who's learned something from Dan Wallin has written code that has saved someone
else's
life.
There we go. I that would be a great thought, Craig. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Likewise for you. I yeah. Maybe not, but we'll pretend.
We'll pretend. That's okay. That's all right.
I realized I got one more I want to share real quick because I realized I kind of did these out of order. Because remember I said I worked at this government agency and I left and I came back as a contractor.
Yeah.
So yeah, last one here, this was a doozy. Now this never made it to production and this led to a huge waste of money. Just quick to set the stage here. I'm not going to say the name, but it was for a major, major, major credit card company. All right. And so this was a big time. It was an internal app. This was old school. This was DCOM. If anyone knows what distributed COM is.
Oh my gosh.
It was part C++, but mostly VB6. Visual Basic 6. So this is a long, nice. This was late 90s, I think. Long time ago. So on this project, what it was banks could go in. So I guess it was kind of an extranet, I should say, type of scenario.
Okay.
To view the rates they were charged by this credit card. And turns out that's like a super sensitive thing because if a bank hears that, you know, they'd be charged a fraction more than another bank, I'm sure that triggers all kinds of, you know, when you're talking about billions of dollars flowing through, that triggers lots of discussion.
Of course. Yeah.
So I joined this project literally about three quarters of the way through when I joined this consulting company. Worst job I ever had, by the way. It was, I literally was there till midnight every night. My wife would bring, my kids were little back then. She would bring dinner in the kids in because they had an Xbox room, by the way. Actually, it would have been early 2000s then, I think. But anyway, it was a long time ago. I think it was late 90s still, but I know they had an Xbox. When did Xbox come out? Wasn't that 2000?
No clue.
So I might be wrong. Maybe it wasn't Xbox. Maybe it was like a Nintendo or something, but the kids liked that. They were pretty little.
It was an Atari.
Maybe it was an Atari. Yeah, I don't know. 3 days before. So almost everyone on the project quit, by the way. Literally left the company because this project was just so intense. So it was me, the project manager. Her name was Becky. She was awesome. 3 days before we're supposed to go to UA user acceptance testing, we hear that, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you. This is from the credit card company stakeholders. All these fields, there's like 14 of them, must be encrypted in the database.
Okay.
Now, you would think that would be communicated up front, but again, I wasn't there at the beginning. And to sum up the story, that's not normal that you hear about something like that after the fact. And this was not an easy thing to change in 3 days. There was no way.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was all COM objects and DCOM, and we'd have to go through a whole new series of tests if we changed that code. Mm. So I did some research and learned that with stored procedures, you could call out to C++ objects and do the encryption from the stored procedure. Now we didn't have to touch the VB code. We could do it right in the stored procedure, right? Sounds the genius plan.
Right. It's an abstraction layer, right? You're just passing adding, it through. Yeah.
Just right when it came in, before we did the insert or the update, we didn't run this. It was like a COM object that was C++. And then...
It's beautiful. It's elegant. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? So we go into UA testing and everything's great. And I'm like, I'm a genius. I have saved this project. Well, about 2 weeks into it, they start getting gibberish back in the app. And if you've ever got gibberish back when you know there's encryption involved, and I was pretty new to encryption back then. This was not a normal thing for me, for sure. That's not a good sign, you know?
No.
There was, it turned out, a bug in the communication between the C++ COM object and stored procedures in this database. They even brought in the company and they acknowledged it was a bug. Well, that killed the whole project. The credit card company literally killed the project. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars invested so far. And they just said, no,
oh my gosh,
we're not going to do it. That was my most miserable failure I've ever had. Now, it was a true bug. They documented it. But my lesson learned there is it's okay to push back. They gave us less than 3 days to figure this out. And what we should have done is gone back and said, this isn't going to happen in 3 days. Sorry. And really push back on it. And then if they push back, say, it's going to have to stay as is if this is your time frame. So because there was just no way to do it through the normal means, which would be you probably have a layer that handles the encryption, not at the database level. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you could probably do that safely, but back then that was revolutionary. So anyway, that was my story. My lesson learned is it's okay to push back. And we didn't.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of instances where there's opportunity to do that type of pushback. And it's hard for lots of different reasons, but it's good to hear from people that it's a good and expected. I mean, ultimately, everybody would have been better off had you done that.
Well, and the project probably would have succeeded.
Right.
So
exactly.
At the time, we thought we were really smart, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad we got a chance to do this, and we should certainly do more of these, just us type of shows more often. To you, if you've made it all the way here to the end of the show, thanks so much. I hope that you learned as much as we did going through these situations. We will talk to you again on Thursday mornings here on WebRush. And we always want to say thank you to our listeners, as well as IdeaBlade, Ionic, Narwhal, and AG Grid for being wonderful sponsors to the show. So thanks again, and we'll talk to you more soon.